Bayern Munich continued their dominance in the UEFA Champions League after beating Paris Saint-Germain at home on Wednesday. While the German heavyweights seem to be repeating their title-winning journey 3 years ago, PSG exited the tournament early, like they did multiple times in the past decade. Is it time for them to reshuffle completely and start over?Welcome back to CGTN Sports Talk. I am Li Xiang, and I'm glad to be joined by my colleague Josh here.
Great to be back.
Hey, so first, do you think Bayern, generally speaking, perform actually better than their 1-0 win 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, I think so, because a thing that I feel like this Bayern team has been doing throughout the Champions League is they play exactly to the level that's right above their opponents. So...For a lot of this game, it felt like they were just simply managing the lead, which on one hand, it's dangerous to do against a team like PSG, where you're only 1-0 up. But at the same time, PSG was so unthreatening for massive chunks of this game that it felt very much a case of they didn't want to extend themselves or maybe like even risk like an injury or something. Mm-hmm. It was just a case of you had this midfield where I don't necessarily know if it's...counts as the Christmas tree formation. But basically, you had Choupo-Moting up front, then Matthijs de Ligt kind of running the defense as a centre-back, then everyone else just playing some variation of midfield, just swallowing the ball, swallowing the opposing players, ruining their possession. And it felt like I wouldn't go as far as saying it looked effortless, but it looked as if they'd set up in a way that knew exactly what PSG were going to do,And they were always one or two steps ahead. And then early on, I forget if it was early on the second half or quite deep into the first half, there was that one chance where Jan Sommer mishandled the ball and Vitinha had a chance. Mm-hmm. And he completely failed to do anything with it because he was so slow. It was as if he'd spent the whole game struggling through molasses trying to get the ball. And when he got it, he almost seemed like he didn't know what to do. And then otherwise...As with last time, as with almost every time we talk about PSG, it's just a case of if Mbappe breaks through, he's a threat. If he doesn't break through, nothing happens. So all Bayern had to really do was to make sure Mbappe never really got much of a chance. And that was it. So yeah, I think it is a case where the scoreline isn't particularly impressive in terms of the final result. But in terms of game control, Bayern dominated this for...let's say 170 of the 180 minutes, I would say.
Yeah, that's true. In the first half, actually one of the biggest things that really confused me is that PSG came to Germany with only one goal deficit. It's not really too big, and there's no away goal rule now. So for me, I think what they had to do is just to keep attacking, at least get one goal first,bringing both teams to the first starting line, and they didn't do it. They were like, should we attack? Should we hold back? And so were Bayern in the first half. They were like weighing things up. But then in the second half, after both managers made so many adjustments, Bayern suddenly clicked. I mean, the first goal was ruled offside, and then they scored a second one in, 10 minutes?It was all like the adjustments worked so well as it did for Bayern and as badly as for PSG.
Yeah, it was almost a case of, for the first half, it was as if both teams had kind of forgotten this was the second leg, mm-hmm. had forgotten that there already was a deficit. And then, in the second half, things got changed around and suddenly everything seemed to click. Whereas, I mean, I wonder if the issue is the reason why it clicked so much for Bayern,is they changed a lot of their front line. Like I say, they brought on Leroy Sané towards the end, Sadio Mane towards the end. Basically, once they got their goal, they hunkered down and kind of pressed even further. So it went from, they had 1-0. When it became 2, they were like, okay, well, this game is basically out of sight. Now we can push even further because we don't have to be too afraid of Mbappe. Whereas on the other side of things,they made changes to their, they removed Marquinhos, mm-hmm. and they changed a lot of the midfield, which felt very much a case of, they knew Mbappe and Messi weren't in the game, but because they're the stars, they have to work around them. And they were basically changing the midfield to try and get them more service, try and get more forward momentum. And quite simply, it didn't work because the issue isn't with the midfield, the Vitinhas, the Verratti's of the world. It's with Messi being 36, 37. It's with Mbappe being very good at only one thing. And without their willingness, without Christophe Galtier's willingness to change that, it just felt like they were just banging their head on a brick wall.
That's true. When Galtier, I'm pretty sure he was a very good manager before he came to PSG, but his decision of first sending Mukiel to the field and then took him back in, what, less than 20 minutes, and then gave that 17-year-old kid another chance. In their first leg game, he was there in the starting lineup. He didn't perform so well. I thought, okay, now they made a good decision to bench him. And then he sent him to the field again. And exactly that's his pass to Verratti that actually led to the loss of the goal to Bayern and then their first goal. Why did he do that? Why did he trust this young man so much in such a game that mattered so much?
Right, that's it. I mean, we haven't even talked about Bayern's goals yet, which is, that's it, the constant pressure that Bayern were giving them. I mentioned how Vitinha missed his chance because it seemed like he wasn't expecting to even have the ball in an attacking area. Mm-hmm. This a similar thing happened here with PSG, where they just kind of gave away the ball, not anticipating a team would then close down on it. It's almost as if they're so used to Ligue 1 being so unthreatening that they felt like they could make these kinds of mistakes at the back and give it away, when instead, not only did Bayern close down on it, but there was like two or three passing moves beforehand. Like, I believe the ball got to Goretzka, and he was right in front of goal, but he still decided to make the shot easy by passing it along to Erik-Maxim Choupo-Moting, which is to say that, you know, even when Bayern were given this simple chance where they could have just banged it in, they worked in a way to guarantee no one was offside, guarantee the goal was open, guarantee the goal goes in. And then once they have that cushion and they know that the back line of PSG is completely soft, that's when they turned on the heat and brought on guys like Sadio Mane and Serge Gnabry, which ultimately worked out for the best, because when they're constantly pummeling a back line that has, I mean, for example, Sergio Ramos is just simply, he's so bad in this game. So when it's him and they're forcing guys like Marco Verratti to track back, they're forcing Nuno Mendes to track back, they're emptying out their midfield, which then in turn means that they can't attack. It was basically in the space of those 10, 15 minutes where the goals were scored, it went from being, okay, we can manage this game, to we've managed it to the point we've completely broken this PSG side. And PSG just simply had no answers from the star players, the guys who were supposed to actually put things together. So yeah, you are right, they're relying on these young men who are obviously not experienced enough to go up against the Bayern Munich side. But then the actual legends, the stars who are meant to be doing the work, simply did not perform.
True. Since you mentioned Bayern's goals, they have won all of the 8 games so far in the Champions League. Judging by their performance in the Bundesliga this season, it's hard for me to praise their defense, but actually, they only allowed 2 goals so far in the Champions League, and all in one game that didn't matter so much. And remember, they beat Barcelona, Inter Milan, and now PSG without conceding even one goal. Does this actually mean that, like, 3 years ago when they did something similar in the Champions League, they won the title? Are they doing it again? Do you think they're now that dominant?
I feel like the Bayern Munich are this weird side, because you automatically assume that they are a steamroller and they're crushing all the competition. Mm-hmm. And when you see them struggling in the Bundesliga, you suddenly start to think, well, maybe this team is falling apart. Maybe they aren't doing so well. Maybe the FC Hollywood stuff is rearing its head in the locker room.
Yeah.
But then you see them playing against these big teams in the Champions League, and you realize, on one hand, they take this clearly a lot more seriously than the Bundesliga. And two, that even though they are currently in, I wouldn't go as far as calling it a transition, but you can tell Julian Nagelsmann is trying new things. He doesn't have the Lewandowski to rely on, so he's refocusing his attack around Choupo-Moting, Sadio Mane, a bit further back, Jamal Musiala and Thomas Muller, these like floating number 10, false 9 almost figures. And yet, this conveys a level of weakness in the Bundesliga because they aren't as dominant as usual. But as we've seen throughout the Champions League, it's given them a level of flexibility that's allowed them to just wipe out all these other teams seemingly without having to break much of a sweat. You know, this is a 3-0 win across 180 minutes where, like I say, they weren't forcing the game. They weren't pushing the game. They were managing the game in Paris, in Munich, both as if it was exactly the same. So I feel like the flexibility and the mentality they have makes them basically alongside Real Madrid as the favorites.
That's true. For PSG, now we saw the mistakes their manager did. We saw the opportunities, though there were a few of them. They wasted it on the field. And I know they're not going anywhere in extension negotiations with Lionel Messi. And there have been always reports of them selling Neymar. They have been spending so much in the past decade, but didn't achieve much in the European competitions. Is it time for PSG now to say, let's start over, let's put everything aside, let's focus on Mbappe and build a new team? Is it era over already?
Yeah, I really think so, because consider the start of last season where it was like, okay, they have the holy trilogy. They have Mbappe, they have Neymar, they have Messi.
Mm-hmm.
Messi, 3 months ago, was on top of the world with his World Cup final. And now he's basically being anonymous, be it in Ligue 1, be it in the Coupe de France, be it in the Champions League. Mbappe has, I would almost go as far as saying, outed himself as being a one-trick pony.
Yeah.
And that burst of speed he has and the clinicalness in front of goal is fantastic. But when it's him on his own, because Messi doesn't have the legs for it, it simply doesn't work. You know, consider that he's just broken Edinson Cavani's record for scoring goals for PSG with 201. And yet here he is against Bayern Munich and he's struggling to get anything in front of goal. Then you have Neymar, who it's slightly unfair to criticize him because he is injured. He'll be out for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
But I mean, I feel like ever since we started this podcast, all we've talked about with Neymar is how he was supposed to be the next big thing, how he was meant to be the next big star. And now he's on the verge of being 30 and all he's done is basically nothing at PSG. Mm-hmm. Then, as I mentioned earlier, they brought in Sergio Ramos, which I think was a move that was meant to solidify the defense. And he's been completely anonymous. He's been causing mistakes. And I feel like just in general, like with PSG, you know, you just mentioned then Christophe Galtier about how he was probably a good manager elsewhere. Maybe he was, maybe he wasn't. I don't know too much about him. But we've seen Thomas Tuchel, we've seen Unai Emery, we've seen Mauricio Pochettino, seen them all be great managers before, in many cases great managers since. We've seen players like Cavani, we've seen players like Zlatan Ibrahimovic, who were great before, were great since, but during PSG did nothing, scored goals against teams you've never heard of, tiny teams like Rennes and things like that. I really do feel like in the past decade, this Qatari investment has made PSG into a massive brand. I see them, I see their shirts, I see their logo, I see them everywhere in places I didn't beforehand. But it's turned them into just this team of mercenaries who dominate domestically, but just get embarrassed every single time they have to play a real team. And at this point, a decade in, post-World Cup, they need a total rebuild, just start from scratch.
That's true. You see them everywhere, like every commercial, every board, but you just didn't see them on where they should have appeared the most. The platform that they received the championship trophy, that didn't happen.
Yeah.
And now it's time to make that happen. Put commercials aside and focus on football. So in this week, is there any other interesting game you want to mention?
Just quickly, I want to mention Chelsea going over Borussia Dortmund, which is their second win in a week. And Graham Potter was told basically he had to win both to stay in the job, and he has. But the method of the victory was really bad. I mean, on one hand, if you can ride your luck to a margin like this, it shows Dortmund weren't good enough to win, and that's fair enough. But you have Raheem Sterling getting that goal right before half time, where he gets the ball, bobbles it, it just lands right at his feet and he gets a second chance, which is luck on his side, fair enough, he gets it. But then with Kai Havertz, so he gets a very soft penalty from Marius Wolf handling the ball in the box. In the replay, he's right on the edge of the box. It doesn't even look like he can see it. He's turning his body to avoid this foul. Instead, it clips his hand. They get the penalty. Then Kai Havertz misses. they get to take it again because of encroachment. But if you watch the footage, it's all Chelsea players encroaching. So he gets a second chance from his own team breaking the rules. Mm-hmm. And he gets this second goal, second chance at the penalty, and he scores it. So they get the 2-0 and they go through. But they looked awful. They looked stodgy. They look like Graham Potter's philosophy simply isn't working. And it's one of those things where, you know, congratulations, they got what they needed. They go through, fair enough. But you look at this team, you think in the next round, just nothing is going to happen. They're going to get wiped out immediately. Mm-hmm. And then also, just another quick mention of English teams that are fumbling. Tottenham Hotspur got eliminated. The Antonio Conte style, I don't typically know enough about Conte or Serie A to know exactly how it worked. But if you look at what he's done recently with that team and what he's done with them in the Champions League, they are so reliant on Harry Kane that when he isn't scoring, or in this case, when he's being closed down by Tomori and Kalulu, so he can't really get the space he needs, they have absolutely nothing. You look at Son Heung-min, yes, he's been injured, but he's been doing absolutely nothing. Kulishevsky, similar. Richarlison was meant to come in as the second striker. He is just winding himself up now with these poor performances. They almost scored in the dying minutes, and then they gave away so much space that Milan responded immediately and almost made it 2-0, which is to say that this Tottenham side is just constantly creating gaps that a team more clinical would have torn them to pieces. So I'm glad Milan got through. They deserved it over both legs. But if they were up against, say, a Bayern Munich, or they were up against even, say, a Dortmund or a Benfica, they would have been torn to shreds.
That's true. I mean, it will really make things very interesting if Chelsea and AC Milan actually meet each other in the quarterfinals. Because imagine two fumbling teams meet each other, and then either way, one has to go, and the other will again have the execution postponed, but not wiped out, just postponed. And in that case, I want to say Chelsea are just, they're now walking on a very dangerous road. Like, maybe after this game, their players will go to Potter and say, hey, manager, you guess what? You got to manage alone, but for how long? We don't know. And how long do you think, how far Chelsea have to go in the Champions League for Potter to keep his job until, say, the end of the season?
Well, that's it. I feel like whatever stage they get knocked out in, and I highly assume it's going to be the next one, that's going to be the end of Graham Potter.
Wow.
And another thing that I just quickly want to mention with Chelsea that I just don't understand is they spent all this money on Mikhailo Mudryk. Mm-hmm. And when he plays, he's fantastic. But he always starts on the bench. And that's because he basically slots in to either João Félix or Kai Havertz. Kai Havertz apparently has the lowest conversion rate of any centre-forward in the league.
Yeah.
And João Félix, he wasn't scoring at Atletico Madrid. He comes to Chelsea, and now Atletico Madrid are suddenly scoring 2, 3, 4 per game. Mm-hmm. And yet they still have Mudryk starting on the bench, which makes me wonder if there's some kind of contract thing behind the scenes. And if that's hamstringing Potter, fair enough. Because with Todd Boehly and everyone coming in, things behind the scenes cannot be settled yet. But if it's his idea to have this fantastic left winger who simply either doesn't play or only plays for 20 minutes, I have no idea what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, we've been taking shots at PSG for going through so much chaos and making really confusing decisions. I think everything we said about PSG can also be said of Chelsea, if not in the worst way.
Yeah, I think so. Because you think about how the big idea, I think we discussed it, is when Roman Abramovich got the boot and Todd Boehly stepped in. It's like, okay, it's a new era. This time things will be more stable because we know for a fact that Abramovich liked chopping and changing immediately if things didn't work. But under Todd Boehly, it doesn't look like anything's been fixed.
True. And I think so much for today. Thank you for listening. Hopefully we'll be hearing from you guys very soon next week. See ya.
Speak to you then. Bye-bye.